Blog Talk Radio.
When all foundations have been shaken, when I'm left standing in the dark, and all I feel is my heart breaking, you're still reigning and you're still God. And when it feels all hope is
this morning for another Tuesday morning,
Thank him for waking us up. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He's on our side again today in spite of us. He's yet looking beyond our faults today and supplying our needs. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We can yet cast our cares upon him today, for he cares for us. We can yet look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help comes from the Lord today. Yeah. Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow is not promised. But we are here today. So we want to make the best day that we possibly can make for ourselves through his son, Jesus Christ. We don't want to grumble, complain, be sad, overthinking. No, we don't want to do any of that. We just want to trust him with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we want to pray. We want to acknowledge him. He's going to direct our path. We don't want to be wise in our own eyes. We want to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Yeah, and it's already all right this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Today, our topic is Sarah and Abraham lied. Sarah and Abraham lied. If we look back, we remember Eve was the one who took what the devil told her, and she ran Adam with it. And now it's the man turn, Abraham. He bring it to Sarah. He tells Sarah, let's lie. Whenever we go before these kings, let's say you my sister and I'm your brother. Because he leaned to his own understanding. He didn't acknowledge God in this to be directed in the right path. He leaned to his own understanding because he felt that if he told them this was his wife, they would kill him and take his wife. But I want you to pay close attention after the lie. What God tells what he tell him about Abraham. Hallelujah. So we go on there, and in Genesis chapter 20 is where we're going to be coming from today concerning Abraham and Sarah. And if you remember way back, they wanted a child. Abraham wanted a son. Sarah wanted to give him one. The angels of the Lord come on their way over there where Lot was, Sodom, over that area, Gomorrah. And before they went there, they stopped by to tell Abraham and Sarah some things. And when Sarah heard she was going to have a baby one day, she laughed because she was thinking she was too old. But the question yet often comes up, is there anything too hard for God? Yeah, if we're seeking with our whole heart, we'll find out there's nothing too hard for him to do. There are things that I did not have on my mind, but I had it on my mind before. But at the present time, I was not thinking about it, and God moved. It wasn't the devil. Almighty God moved. So if we'll trust him, even when we don't ask for directions, he'll yet lead us in the right path for his name's sake. Again this morning, he shines on the just as well as the unjust. Yeah, and it's already all right in Jesus' name. He loves us all, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But now I'm here to tell you, because he loves us in this way, he has said what he meant, and he meant what he said, and he won't lie. He's not going to change it. I don't care how much he loves us, he's not going to change it. Yeah. Whatever his word said for us not to do, he won't change. Now, he's able to blame us, cause us to be blameless before him. Yes. But at the same time, I don't know when, where, and if, and how he will decide what he wants to do when we stand before him. Because what we're doing daily is remembering to prepare for his return. He's coming back. He didn't lie. And when he come back, he want us to be ready. So he give us all his time and everything we need to prepare. He gave us his spirit. Well, first off, he saved us. He forgave us. He cleaned us up, sanctified us, gave us his spirit, gave us his word, gave us his son. I mean, how much more he got to do? He gave us what we need. That's just like you get a job. They gave you the job. They're not going to come in the morning and wake you up and shower you and dress you and drive you to the building. No. They gave you the job. The rest is up to you. You got to make sure you got transportation, a lunch, whatever you need to go work. God gave us all of these things, and it's up to us to use every one. Knowing the word and not applying the word are two different things. James said, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. And this is where we have got to get. We need to go back. Because, see, in the old way, things were much different. People would be ashamed. People would fear God. Today, they don't fear nothing. Took God out of everything because they felt like it wasn't God. It was man that was doing everything, but they didn't realize it was God who allowed man and gave man the ability to do everything. I hear people talking about the universe. Why would I trust in the universe when I can trust in the one who made the universe, who's over the universe, have more power than the universe will ever have? That's the thinking of man. And many, they want to be taken care of or they want to be a part of the crowd. So what they do is they join in. Yeah, it's the universe. No, it's not no universe. It's Almighty God that have all power that you allow yourself time to build with. You know, I've seen people build with him because of what they got to do. I've seen people study his word. Oh, they know what they're studying now because they got to get up and present his word before somebody. That's not the way. What we got to do is be saved, sanctified, and Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized. Now, that's what we must do if we want to stay with him. If we want him to be ours and we become his. Yeah, that's a way to seem right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. I can't play with him like that and before the world and got them thinking this the right way and I got God, I've been saved. No, you didn't even really convert. See, sometimes people convert. They stop doing certain things and they keep seeking God. But then some, they have a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. It appears they have converted, but they have not. And it's going to show in their life. If they love God or if not, they're going to trick folks. They're going to try to trick people. They're going to lie so they can have what they want. That ain't God. That is not God. Yeah. But we got to come to him. And we got to come right. Do you know God don't have no maybes? Uh-uh. He don't have that. It's nothing in the middle. Either it's yes or no with God. Either you for him or against him, nothing in the middle. See, we'll have something in the middle. That's why he said he won't have you lukewarm. See, that'll be in the middle. Either you got to be hot or cold, and if you think you're lukewarm, he going to spew you out his mouth. He can't have it. He's a straight up and down God. He's a right to left God. Yeah, he's not one that put things in there that would trick you, stumble you up, and all. No, God is not that way. He's straight with you. He's straight with me. He said what he meant what he said. He hear what we say, but he's looking at what we're doing. And what we're saying and doing are two different things. He know we liars. Now, it's his word, it's not mine, but he said a liar won't tarry in his sight. So the trickery games and all of this, no, that's not God, that's us. And we got to get it right with him. We got to come out of that. Pray your way out of it. Fast your way out of it. Let the word of God bring you out of it. Yeah. And know what people, they don't like the truth. They want it mixed up, mashed up, put a little bit of this in it and a little bit of that. And I'm talking about they got thousands and thousands of people following them. Everybody on their way to hell. Nobody likes the truth. When they hear the truth, they run. Some say that can't be God. It's not that serious. What hell is a serious place to end up throughout eternity? You never coming out of there. And you don't think that's serious? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I want it off my hands. I don't want to be guilty of not telling you the truth. I'm not telling you the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. I don't want you to think that just because you say, I believe in Jesus, that's all you got to do. No, we got to walk upright before him daily. We got to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto him, not unto us. Look at this world. It's so full of evil. And just like back in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, like in the day of Noah, every time God bring us out and bless us, because he loved man, we go back into the cesspool. We go dumpster diving. We don't go to store where the new stuff, we rather rummage through somebody else's garbage. We go to the thrift store. Yeah. Because of this is the mentality of the world. It can't be evil enough. It can't be low down and dirty enough. This is what people seeking. I've shared many times that a lot of the television stuff you're seeing on television, people requested by rating it and loving it and liking it so much. Anything raunchy, evil, dirty, low down, this is what people love, and this is what Hollywood brings, what they love. Can't be evil enough. All kind of programs them went for. Back in my day, they never would have allowed that foolishness on TV. Churches would have got together and let them, preachers would have let them know, oh, no, 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 no. I don't want my wife watching this. Wife saying, I don't want my husband watching this. So the children weren't even an option because they were the main reason we weren't putting no craziness out there for children to get a wink of it. Back in the day television programs where the man and woman was husband and wife, they slept in two separate beds. You never saw no hanky-panky going on. Even when she got out of bed, she put a house coat on, as we call it. He put a house coat on. They eased a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And the more they eased in there, the more the people loved it. Until now, it's like Pandora's box. It's like an open pit of wickedness. No thought for God, no consideration for God, no nothing. And people telling other people, oh, you can do that, honey. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. You ain't got to worry about what people say about you. It's what you want to do. Oh, but looky here, one day, when you send us to hell, I wonder what you're going to do. Because there's no coming out. There's no change in your mind. You're there throughout eternity. You will burn forever. I've heard them say the flesh come back on you and burn off again. Any torture, pain, you'll go through it and it'll happen over and over and over and over throughout eternity. No peace, no rest for you. And I wouldn't want to be a part of that because I've been disobedient. Because listen to this now. The scriptures say we are his if we obey. That's what the scriptures say. Now, that's not what Barbara said. That's what God inspired man to write, and it is true. Yeah. So we tell the Lord, thank you. And we seek him with our whole heart. Time out for playing church, playing preacher, playing evangelist, playing apostle, playing prophet. Time out for all of that. Time out for seeking men and women for the things of God. If you find somewhere where the truth is coming forth, you better hold on. Not hang on, but hold on. And don't let go. Because in this life, we're human and we forget things. But I try to allow God to use me to bring and remember and remind people of what he said, of what he wants, over and over again. I know people want to be in a church where a new word coming forth and all of this right here. But you haven't done that first new word you got that he had the preacher to share with you. Uh-huh. You haven't done anything with that. You're not living that. And you want to go on to the next thing. You want to hear more because guess what? Your flesh is being pleased. Yeah, because the Spirit don't forget. The Spirit of God won't forget. But we keep seeking all these messages that's according to the world. Uh-huh. I want to seek what's according to the Spirit of God. Whatever he said, that's what I want. Whatever he put in place is what I want. The world can change. Anybody else can change. I'm going to stay with this right here that I know is of God. I know this is God. And we must grow in him. We must grow in Jesus. The best way to grow is through prayer and seeking his word. Lord, what did you say about this? What did you say about being slick? And, yeah, we got to go there. Mm-hmm. What did you tell me, Lord? Help me to remember. And the Spirit of the Lord will bring it back to your remembrance. He's that kind of God. He loves us today. He wished that none should perish. But he won't force you to receive him and become his. He won't force it. We got to go to him. On our own. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because when you stand before me, you can't say, well, Lord, you forced me into this life and I couldn't live it. No, that won't work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What will work is if we give him our all. Hallelujah. And trust him. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray this morning the prayer of faith. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask today that you would pray through us. But Father, we don't know what to pray. Only you know what to pray. Pray through us today. And Father, not our will, but your will be done. In the name of Jesus, April the 9th, 2024, thy will be done, O God. Oh, we thank you this morning. We thank you for waking us up. Thank you, Father, for being clothed in our right minds. We thank you for the use and activity of our limbs, our life, our health, and our strength. Father, we realize this morning that Without you, we can do nothing. We realize this morning we need you in all things. We can't leave you out of nothing. But Father, you so loved us. You sent your only begotten Son to suffer and to die for us. We thank you for it this morning. And Father, we come bow down before the throne of grace, making our petition known unto you. And Father, we ask today that you would fix our hearts and regulate our minds. Your word says, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. But Lord, we need your help, that we would show that all things have become new, and that we are not struggling with the old man to do the old things, but that God, we're walking in the newness of life with you, that we are walking upright before you the very best that we can, and remembering, Father, that if we fall short, you're able to forgive and to see us through. If we fall down, you're the one who's able to pick us up. If we forget, you're the one who's able to remind us. Help us today as your people. Father, help us to grow closer to you and grow in you. And let our life reflect the things of you, not the things of our flesh, not the things of the world, Father. But let it reflect your Son, Jesus. All we ask this morning in Jesus' name. Father, we ask that you would lead and guide us this day in the right path. For your name's sake, let these things unfold from us, O God. Whatever should not be in us, we ask this morning in the name of Jesus that, Father, you would take it out of us, wash us clean, and make us whole. Father, make us over again, all through the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you this morning that we can ask you for all that we need. And we need you today to fix our hearts. We need you to regulate our minds. Father, we need you to heal us spiritually, physically, and mentally this day in the name of Jesus. But Father, the flesh and the spirit is always at war. And Lord, whoever we yield to the most, that's who's winning. And today we want to yield more to your spirit in the name of Jesus. Or to the Holy Spirit, we want to yield more. To the Holy Ghost, we want to yield more. We don't want to yield more to our flesh. But Father, without you, we can do nothing. And we need your help. We need you to remind us daily, oh God. Help us, Lord, to come out of ourselves and walk according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you this morning. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise. And Father, it's not so much of natural materialistic things today, but it is more of the spirit that we need, oh God. And we need to walk in the spirit that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Father, we want to walk by faith and not by sight. Do it for us. Help us to let go. Help us to stop holding on. Help us to stop trying to have what they're talking about, an American dream. There's no such thing, God. Without you, we can do nothing. And you didn't make us all to do the same thing. We're not robots. Your word said the poor will always be among us. And Lord, some people working their fingers to the bone. Some people don't go to church on Sunday because they're on schedule to work. Because we lean into our own understanding, Father. But help us today to come out of this thing. Help us to wake up, oh God, and see your signs and wonders. Help us to wake up today and see, Lord, what your word said is happening right before our very eyes. Help us today in the precious name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you for opportunity. We thank you to have jobs that pay us, that God, we can live comfortable. We thank you for these things. But Lord, we don't want it to be our main focus. We want our main focus to be on your Son, Jesus, and following his lead. Because he yet come to do your will, and this is what we want to do. In the name of Jesus. Father, we come this morning asking that you would bless every caller and every listener. Move for every household, every family member, near and far, in the name of Jesus. Father, you know what they're standing in need of. You know the desires of their hearts. Move today for them. Lord, if it's to draw closer to you, hallelujah, do it for them. Father, whatever it may be, you know what's best. Move by your spirit in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I bring those that are sick before you this morning. And I ask that you would touch and heal this day. It's you who heal all manner of sickness and disease. And again, we believe that there is nothing too hard for you to do, even in healing. Hallelujah. Move this morning by your spirit of healing, O God, for the sake of your people. You love us all, and we thank you this morning for your love. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Thank you for what you did for us at Calvary. Thank you what you did before you got to Calvary. So, Lord, we know you're able to heal. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. And we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we bring those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military. We bring widowers and bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, preachers. We bring Israel and Jerusalem. We bring our brothers and sisters overseas before you this morning, and those who can't even mention your name or scripture. We ask this morning that you would have your way and that, God, you would move in a special way, uncommon way for all of these. Ask that you would continue to bless America. It appears America is cursed. That's the way it's appearing. But, God, we know you're yet God for those of us that are yet believing and yet trusting and yet preparing and yet turning our hearts to you, our whole heart. And leaning not to our own understanding, acknowledging you in our ways, all our ways. God, you're directing our path. Help us this morning. Every American. Lord, bless the leadership of our military. Bless our administration, oh God. Fix their hearts and regulate their minds in the name of Jesus. We bind up every evil and hindering and negative thing that's coming their way in the name of Jesus. Casting it to hell, never to return. Father, we ask that you would rebuke it for our sake in the name of Jesus. And Father, we lose strength. We lose wisdom to our administration of this country. Spiritual wisdom in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. And Father, we ask it all. In your son Jesus' name, asking that you bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Help us to remember Sarah and Abraham. Help us to remember the things that they went through. And Lord, it just wasn't an overnight thing. Help us to remember, oh God, that sometimes we listen to a husband, a wife, a family member, a children, or whoever, more than we listen to you. Forgive us, oh God, and help us today to walk upright before you daily. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. And Father, again, we ask it all in your son, Jesus Christ's name. And Father, we thank you. We thank you this morning. We can't thank you enough. We thank you for yet being here for us. We thank you for yet looking beyond us. We thank you for yet supplying food, because the food could be cut off from the country. The water supply could be so bad. Oh, but you're yet blessing us. We thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Father, it could be that what we need, we couldn't get medications and even personal hygiene items to shower. Lord, it could be so bad. Oh, but your grace and your mercy. Most of all, your love for us. And Lord, we're yet calling on you. So you're yet blessing America. Your word said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then you'll hear from heaven, Father, forgive the sins and heal the land. But many of them won't do that. They won't seek you with their whole heart. Father, they'd rather seek a career in Hollywood. They'd rather seek corruption. They'd rather seek owning whatever it is, just so much natural fleshly stuff. But Father, have mercy this morning in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you for looking beyond America's fault, Father, and yet meeting the need. Oh, we thank you this morning. Have mercy, oh God. We thank you. We thank you. We can't thank you enough. And Father, we are asking all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We can't thank you enough for all you've done. Glory. Hallelujah. You've done so much. You're doing so much for us right now. And Father, we don't want to forget you. Hallelujah. But we need you. Ooh, without you, we can do nothing. Hallelujah. The songwriter said, I have a feeling everything is going to be all right. But we got to look to the hills constantly. Study the word for yourself. Pray before studying and ask God to give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Understanding, knowledge, and wisdom of his word. Because see, if we get understanding and we know it, it gives us wisdom how to use it. Hallelujah. So we ask God for these things. Yeah, and all I get, he wants us to get an understanding. That way we can share with someone else. That way we know the right way to go. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So again, this morning, we're looking at Abraham and Sarah lied. And we're looking at Genesis, the 20th chapter. And if we go way back there, we know that God did what he said he would do for Abraham. He said, if you could count each grain of sand, then guess what? You would know how many relatives Abraham would have. Abraham wanted children. Boy, he wanted a son. And you know, I don't know too many real men who do not want a boy. All the real men I know, they want a son to follow in their footsteps. It's a pleasure. It's joy and happiness to go fishing, teaching his son. It's just a great thing for him to teach his son how to change the oil in a car, how to put an alternator on, how to change a battery out, how to change a flat tire, many other things, maybe a general, whatever it may be that he's teaching his son. And whatever he's good at, he really wants his son to be good at it too. Nothing like him going to a baseball game with his son. Huh? Yeah, basketball game, football game, nothing like that. Women, they want a daughter, many. And they want a daughter that they can teach how to cook, how to clean, how to be a lady, how to dress, what to do about this situation, what I did about that situation. Yeah, they want a daughter that they can take shopping. They go shopping together. And she tells the mama, oh, mama, that'll look good on you. But the mama and the daughter not buying the same type clothes now because one much older than the other. And she's teaching her daughter how to sit like a lady. She's teaching her daughter how to speak like a lady. Yeah, these things. And that's what Abraham wanted. And Sarah could use it too. She would let Abraham have the boy and she would have the daughter. But God gave him a son. A biological son. And this happened in their older age. They weren't 40. They were close to 100. And coming out of the box, God sent Abraham to a different country. Leave your kindred and go to a different country. They went through all many different type things. But Abraham loved Sarah, and Sarah loved Abraham. And when she recommended him, this the same Sarah recommended to the same Abraham, go over there and take Hagar. I'm too old, and go on and get you a child. Not depending on what God said. Not believing and trusting. I wouldn't care if you was 200 years old. If God spoke it, it should surely come to pass. Though it tarry, wait for it. It might take a while, but wait for it. It's worth it. If you could talk to Job this morning, he'll tell you, though it tarry, wait for it, honey. It's coming. If God spoke it, it should surely come to pass. Some people get a word from the Lord and do nothing with it. They don't wait on it. They don't tell him thank you for it. They don't remind him that they're waiting on it. Not that he forgot, but if you can remind God. Did you know that? Lord, you spoke out of Sister Barbara's mouth and said, I was going to get the house on the hill with the dog named Fletcher. I'm waiting. But while I'm waiting, I'm going on in Jesus. I'm drawing closer to him. I'm obeying him more. I'm walking in the spirit more. I'm walking by faith more, not by sight. I believe in more. Hallelujah. I'm doing more unto him. I'm working unto him more. Hallelujah. And not just church building work, because a lot of people work at the church, you know, in the building. And now it's outside the four walls of the church. The harvest is plenteous out there and the laborers are few. We're asking God to send more laborers, but how about that labor he called or chose you for, or called and chose you for? What you doing with that? Do you even know? Have you even begun to seek him to find out? Yeah. And it's already all right this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank him. Can't thank him enough. Because every time we turn around, he keeps blessing us. And we're not like the world. We're not looking for all of this hoopla. We're looking for Jesus to get right with him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Listen, we're going to one more song of the morning. And when I put the topic in yesterday, I was supposed to put a song in to open up. Well, I didn't do it, y'all. So this morning, it was a little delay in it, Sister Dorothy, but we got on in here. Hallelujah. Let's go to this one. And when we come back, we're coming back. What an announcement about yesterday and the youth. Hallelujah. Oh, Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Mr. Al Green this morning. And what a friend we have in Jesus. And Al always jazzes it up. I teach you too. He always does. But I thank God this morning for good gospel music. And thank God for the words of inspiration of a gospel song. Thank him that it can move us in a direction of praise and worship unto him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So grateful, so grateful. And so we're moving on this morning, and we want to read our morning scripture, and it's Genesis chapter 20. And we want to read on down. It's not very long. It's only 18 verses. So we want to read on down, and then we want to share some things and keep it moving this morning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So over in Genesis chapter 20, let's pray this prayer right quick. Father God, help us this morning to understand your word. You said in all our getting, get understanding. Help us to understand. Give us the knowledge of this scripture this morning, oh God. And Lord, lead and guide in the right path, even in your word, oh God, that we won't be fools, that we'll get understanding, and we won't be ignorant to your word. Help us today. Open our spiritual ears, oh God, our spiritual eyes, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, let us sell out to you with our whole heart. Let us give our whole heart to you and let nothing separate us, hallelujah, from you or your word this day in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayers. In Jesus' name. So listen. Verse 1 starts and says, and Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country and dwelt between Kadesh, Shur, and Sojourn to Gerar. Verse 2 says that Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Yeah. Took Sarah. He said this was his sister, not his wife. In verse 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But God came. Abraham didn't go back and say, no, this is not my sister. This is really my wife. And I was afraid to tell you this was my sister because I thought you would take her and kill me. Now, God came and told him. Abimelech, I always get his name messed up. God came and gave it to him in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Verse 3 says, verse 4. But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? He didn't touch Sarah. He didn't bring Sarah to be his wife. So he's asking God, Lord, would thou slay also a righteous nation? And see, another thing, sometimes we're so leaned to our own understanding, we haven't even investigated nothing. We don't really know nothing. We just leaning on our understanding of what it, our own understanding of what it could be. Now, Abraham over there thinking, I got to come up with something to tell this man. He didn't even believe that this king believed in God. He didn't think Abimelech would consider honoring what God said or know what God said not to do to people or not to do to himself. See, because we're leading so to our own understanding, we're figuring it out. when God truly has already worked it out. Yeah. Verse 5 says, said he not unto me, she is my sister. And she even herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands, have I done this? In other words, he didn't tell me it was his wife. He said it was his sister. She didn't tell me he was her husband. She said she was his sister. And I did this thing thinking of her in that way out of innocence, because I didn't know. And Lord, my hands done this, but my heart, I didn't know. Had I known, Lord, I never would have even thought about being with another man's wife. Yeah. And see, God can search the heart. People can say what they want, but it's Almighty God who can search your heart. Man can't search it like that. God can search the deepness of your heart. Now, he give man discernment, and man can pick up on things. But God know the very intent. So he knew Amlemich was not after Sarah, Abraham's wife, but he may have been after Sarah, Abraham's sister. Yeah. But nonetheless, God was not pleased, and God let him know, no, sir, this somebody wise. And you're a dead dog. If you continue with the foolishness, and I'm telling you this, the wise. But Amlemich went to God and let him know, Lord, I didn't know. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. But he didn't touch him. And God said unto him in a dream, yeah, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, but I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffer I thee not to touch her. I saw the whole thing. I know what went on. I kept you from sinning against me. It didn't say I kept you from sinning against Abraham and Sarah. I kept you from sinning against me. Let me tell y'all something. I know people take marriage lightly, and they allow all kind of different stuff to go on in their marriages and all of that. But do you know that marriage thing is serious before God? Marriage is sacred. It's very serious before Almighty God. And he even said, what I put together, let no man take asunder. Husband and wife, don't nobody go over there fooling around. Come on, you finna play with her husband, he finna play with your wife. God take that very serious. And look what he said now. But I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffer I thee not to touch it. Don't you touch Sarah, stay away from her. Verse 7 says, now therefore restore the man his wife. Give the man back his wife, now that you know. For he is a prophet. What? Huh? The lying prophet? What? For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee. What? You mean to tell me he done did all of this? And watch out now, watch out. Listen. He shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, thou know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Listen, give the man back his wife, for he's a prophet, and he'll pray for you, and you should live. And if you don't give him back now, know you shall surely die. You and all that you have. will die. Give this man back his wife and let it go. He gonna pray for you. I deemed him as my prophet. Hallelujah. In verse 8, it says, therefore, Amalekah rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears. And the men were sore afraid. They tell me the beginning of wisdom is to fear God. They were so afraid. But see, Abraham was leaning to his own understanding. He was not thinking that these people feared God or could fear God or knew God. He was walking in his flesh, where she's a beautiful woman. And if I tell them she's my wife, they're going to kill me and take my wife. That was his mentality, his thinking. Verse 8 says, therefore Amalekah rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were so afraid. Verse 9 says, then Amalekah called Abraham, and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? Yeah, what this thing you done brought to me and my people? We invited you in. We didn't have no ill will for you. Look what you did to me. And said unto him, what hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee? What did I do wrong against you, that thou hast brought on me, on my kingdom, a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. Why would you do this? Me and my kingdom, we could die. Because it would have been a great sin for me to be with a married woman. So verse 10 says, and Amalekah said unto Abraham, what sawest thou that thou hast done this thing? What did you see? You the prophet now. What did you see that you needed to come here and do this? 11 says, and Abraham said, because I thought, here you go, surely the fear of God is not in this place. Didn't I tell you? And they will slay me for my wife. Didn't I tell you? He didn't think that God, these people feared God, these people knew God. And a lot of times we do the same thing. We think because they got the dreads, they don't pray. They got the dreads, so they don't study the word. They got the dreads and they don't have faith in God. They got the faith in the Rastafarian. They got the faith in the world, you know, and they got the cut up jeans and the too big pants. Let's don't judge a book by its cover. Let's don't judge nobody. Let's don't lean to our own understanding. Let's walk in the light. Let God lead and guide us. If we're not sure about something, let's pray about it. And lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, let's acknowledge God. He will direct your path. He's able to direct your path. He has the power to direct your path. Yeah. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. He'll take it all up and fix it, make it beautiful for you. What you thought you couldn't go through, you'll be able to go through smiling. The trial you think, I just can't take it no more. That particular trial will turn into sunshine for you. It'll be a bright day. Because greater is he that lives within you than he that is in the world. It's already all right in Jesus' name. Yeah. And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. 12 says, and yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. Now, I read this before, but I didn't read it before. I read it before, but I didn't grasp it before. Abraham playing over him. And he's telling the truth. But listen, that's not what should have took place. That wasn't the way. And she became my wife. No, she was your wife, Abraham. Tell the king, this is my wife. You said it was your sister. The make it, you know, this is not my wife. This is not the woman I'm expecting to have children with. This is not the woman I'm making love to. This is not the woman that I care for. And if I see another man with her, I can't drink water around it. Yeah. But he said in verse 12, and yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. Because check this out. The daughter of your father, would that be considered incest? Would the child be messed up and handicapped and crippled because y'all got the same blood? Verse 13 says, and it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whether we shall go, say of me, he is my brother. Abraham told it a lie. Well, I take that back. If they're brothers and sisters, they got the same dad, okay. Because usually when the mama have two kids, and the first man is not the same father of the second child, they call that stepbrother and sister. But when two children are born of the same dad, you're brothers and sisters. You're not step. You're not half brothers and sisters. You see? But Abraham knew what time it was, but he hid it. Because he told us he thought they would slay him and take Sarah. And yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass when God called me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me. At every place whether ye shall come, say of me, he is my brother. 14 says, and Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servant and women servant and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. Now Abraham had no clue this man believed in God like this and feared God like this. He gave him sheep and cattle, oxen and men servant and women servant, and gave them to Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. Let's don't lean on our own understanding. Let's pray our way through. What may be was, God can turn it around. What should not be won't happen. Because we don't acknowledge God, he direct our path and we follow instruction. 15 says, and Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleases thee. Where you want to stay on the land? I own it all out here. Yeah. I know you come out of your own country because God sent you out of there. And he hooked you up with me, but you came somewhat under false pretense, but God said, you're a prophet, you pray for me, I'll live. Where you want to live at on this land? Where you want to dwell? Part of the land please you. 16 says, and unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to be a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all others. Thus she was reproved. Yeah, Sarah over there playing games too. Then Abraham tell her that. But God will work it out every time. God will work it out every single time. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When we obey scripture, God come in and do what he's got to do. And he's got to do a lot for us. He's got to do many things for us. We can't do it for ourselves. God give us the opportunity to do something, we mess it up. We stick our hand in there where it shouldn't be. We take over God's business. Instead of staying in what they call my lane. I don't want to do God's job. I don't know how. The next thing, I'm going to mess it up if I try. I'm not God. He's my master. He's my Lord and Savior. So don't make me God. And anything I need or think, I need to go to him for it. Now, I don't need to try it on my own. I know it won't come out right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He said Abraham was a prophet. And that he would pray for him and he would live. And when I found out, I heard it. He told her, this is his sister. And she said, this is my brother. It sounded like a straight up lie and just evil. But then God come back and said, this is my prophet. And he'll pray for you and you'll live. Now look, Abraham come and let him know how this could be. This is my sister. It's not my mother's child, but it's my father's child. She's my father's daughter. But he knew it was a slick way of doing things, and that's not the way we should be with God. Nonetheless, God overlooked what he did and blessed him. The man gave him all his stuff and gave him his wife back. He could have took Sarah still. And said, let us all just die for Sarah. I'm going to teach this man here a lesson by coming in here with slickness and thinking he's getting away with it. But God had his hand in the whole thing. And sometimes we start off, it appear to be wrong, but God is in the whole thing. And in the end, he makes it right. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. One by 18 verses. And we at verse 17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech. I can keep that word right. And his wife. God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants. And they bare children. When Abraham prayed. 18 says, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. None of y'all having children because the king got Abraham's wife. Now that happened with that Abimelech. He didn't know. But look what God was punishing him already. What? Nobody having no children over here. And all y'all gonna die. If you don't get a man back, then when he found out. Yeah, he found out. Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't want no part of this. I didn't know. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. So let's remember to trust God today. Let's remember, don't lean to our own understanding, thinking it's going to be this way when it's a whole nother way. Yeah. God is faithful. God is faithful. So listen, I'm going to one more song of the morning. And I think I had a testimony I wanted you to hear. But let's pray this 1 minute and 23 second prayer. I like to play that every day if I can remember.
Lord, may nothing separate me from you today. Teach me how to choose only your way today, so each step will lead me closer to you. Help me walk by the word and not my feelings. Help me to keep my heart pure and undivided. Protect me from my own careless thoughts, words, and actions. And keep me from being distracted by my wants, my desires, my thoughts on how things should be. Help me to embrace what comes my way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. And finally, help me to rest in the truth of Psalm 86:13. Great is your love toward me. You already see the ways I will fall short and mess up. But right now, I consciously tuck your whisper of absolute love for me into the deepest part of my heart. I recognize your love for me is not based on my performance. You love me, warts and all. That's amazing. But what's most amazing is that the Savior of the world would desire a few minutes with me this morning. Lord, help me to forever remember what a gift it is to sit with you like this. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I like that little prayer right there. Yeah, I think it's good for us, good for us. All right, we're going to this next song. And I think when we come back, if I can't find that testimony for today, then we will play another clip that we need to hear. Yeah.
Jesus. The wolf is at the door. The wolf is at the door. Father, I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for your word. It's a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. I thank you, Lord, for the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit that gives us new hearts, Lord, so that we can stretch out beyond our limitations and be ambassadors of you and your word to all who can still hear. I thank you, Lord, for the anointing of your spirit. I thank you for courage and compassion today, God, to speak things that need to be spoken in this generation. Help us, Lord, as a church, never to back away from truth. Help us to go forward and let it fall where it may. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The wolf is at the door. Isaiah chapter 53. Prophet Isaiah says these words. Who has believed our report? Beginning at verse 1. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, it's so important before we even begin to look at this passage of Scripture to understand that it was a religious system that crucified Christ. You know, we understand that the Roman authorities were the instruments of his death, but it was the religious order of the day, created by God's own people, that put the Son of God on a cross. There were leaders in that generation, and they had used their position over the people to garner titles for themselves. They had adorned themselves in righteous robes, as they saw it, and they loved to parade among the people, as Jesus said, and be called master, teacher, teacher, teacher in the marketplace. But Jesus himself came in a form that he did not take on this form of grandeur that men give to themselves. And also, too, they created a system of salvation that was much wider and much more inclusive than the one that God had given to us. As a matter of fact, it was so narrow that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. They were so offended when he challenged their religious system because they had created this wide door into eternal life and eternal bliss with God that doesn't exist. All kinds of people were coming into the temple defiled and going out defiled. They were living in manners and ways that the Bible clearly indicated would leave them excluded from the kingdom of God forever. And so in comes this man. He's not interested in their system. He's not trying to garner one of their titles. He's not doing things their way. The Bible says there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. He's not dressed in righteous robes. He's not got boxes on his forehead. He's not walking around with tassels on his arms. He's not parading like some rooster before the people, talking about how close to God he actually is. They despised him and rejected him because he challenged their religious system. They had created a system of redemption that did not exist. Do you understand? And that's the propensity of humankind. The original sin in the Garden of Eden is that we can be as God is. Remember, we can become judges of what's good and what's evil. And if you take that to its logical extension, we can start declaring things that are God forgives when he doesn't. We can start declaring behaviors righteous when they're not. We can start telling people they're going to heaven when they aren't. That is the grave, grave danger of religion. When humankind in its sin nature is allowed to take it and so twist it and so pervert it that it becomes something that God never intended it to be. Can you imagine sitting in a place as a professed or supposed believer in Christ only to end up at the throne of God one day to find out you've been outside the whole thing all along? What a tragedy that's going to be for so many. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There was a heaviness in the heart of the Son of God as he looked on the people as sheep without a shepherd. But we hid it, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. And we are, of course, reliving this scripture again in great measure in our day. In many, many places, even where God's people are gathering, the word of God is despised. And we are now gravitating to fancy preachers who have opened the door real wide to people who are not going to heaven, given them false peace when they're not at peace with God. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old things are what? Passed away. And behold, all things are become new. If we are in Christ, if Christ is in us, that means a new value system. It means a new heart. It means a new mind. It means a new way of speaking, thinking, living. It means that what God says is good, and what God says is evil. We don't try to change that. We accept that from the Word of God. Now, this message is given to shepherds to bring us not only to the knowledge of our salvation, but to the freedom which Christ bought for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by his beating, as it is, that he took on the cross, we are healed. The old things don't have power over us anymore unless we choose to let them. The old ways of living, speaking, thinking, doing are broken. And we become new creations in Christ. We are able to look back and say, thank God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm not everything that I hope to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be, and thank God I'm going to be one day what Christ is calling me to be. So there's this constant moving forward in the life of a genuine believer, leaving an old way of thinking, an old way of living, an old way of speaking, and moving to truth, even when it's painful. The book of Proverbs says a righteous person swears to their own hurt and doesn't change. In other words, I say I'm going to do this and I do it because God's word says I should, even if it causes me pain. And I don't turn from it. Now, Paul was this kind of a shepherd. He didn't hold back, as I said earlier. This is what he said in Acts chapter 20, verses 26 to 31. He said, therefore, I testify to you this day, I'm innocent of the blood of all men. In other words, and this is the cry of my heart, if anyone here today hearing my voice ends up in hell, let it not be my fault. Let it never be because I didn't declare to you the whole counsel of God, or I didn't warn you of something that had the power to drag you down into eternal darkness. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Paul says, for this I know, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, he said, day and night with tears. Paul said there's going to be wolves that are going to come, and they're all already, there's packs of them now. It's not just a few, there's many now in our generation. And they're going to come to devour the sacrifice of Christ and the promise of new life through him. They're going to promise you liberty, as the scripture says in the New Testament, but they themselves are the slaves to corruption. They're promising something they're not experiencing themselves, and they can't deliver it. Listen to what Jude says, the last book of the New Testament before the book of the Revelation. Verse 3 says, behold, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Here's what the wolves do. They teach that you can live a lifestyle against the word of God and still claim heaven as your eternal home. That is the wolf that's now at the door of the Christian church in America. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that means people who engage in sexual intercourse outside of the bonds of marriage between one man and one woman. Fornicators are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Settle it. It's in the word of God. Don't be deceived into thinking you can live an immoral lifestyle and heaven will still be your home. So hard for this generation to hear. When you've got preachers standing in pulpits saying, well, God understands your need and God is a God of love and God won't send anybody to hell. No, that's not true. God is a God of love. We know that. But the Bible tells us that fornicators have no inheritance in the kingdom of God, nor idolaters, people who have other loves in there, something that is in your life that is your whole obsession. Churches or Christ is just a little part of your life, but there's something else in your life that you're pursuing. Nor adulterers, people who engage, who are married, but engage in, you know, today we take words like adultery and we call it an extramarital affair, as if it's a black tie event. You know, you are invited to an extramarital affair next Friday at 5 o'clock. Bible calls it adultery. Adultery. Settle it. Deal with it. The sex outside of marriage will keep you outside of the kingdom of God. And sex outside of the bonds of the person that you are married to, the man or woman you're married to, will also keep you outside of the kingdom of God, unless it's repented of. Nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. In other words, that's both men and women. Folks, listen. I understand the dilemma, in a sense, that some might face in same-sex attraction. But I'm telling you, you can't give in to that lifestyle on any level, because the Bible clearly says it will leave you outside the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said some people are eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. In other words, some people just live their lives without any sexual activity for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And he said, whoever can hear this, let them hear it. You know, you go to a funeral, for example, and you can dress it up with flowers all around, and there's a death certificate, and the preacher can get up and say nice words. But the reality is that the corpse is still dead. You can't make it live. It doesn't matter what you do. And it's the same with homosexual marriage, folks. I got to say it straight out today. I'm not going to hold back on it. You can adorn it with flowers. You can get a certificate from City Hall. You can find some backslidden preacher to say nice words about it. But the wages of sin is still death. You can't change that. Now listen, I'll be called a hater for this message today. I understand that. But I'm not a hater. If I hated you, I'd let you go to hell. If I hated you, I'd let you die in your sin. If I walk down the street and your house is on fire and you're up in your bedroom window and I don't warn you, am I really a good neighbor? Do I really love you? Do I really care about your eternal destiny? You can curse me out of your bedroom window all you want, but I will still warn you that your house is on fire for your soul's sake. Nor thieves. Lest we should think that we're just going to focus on one thing. Nor thieves. That means people who steal. It's that simple. People who steal. People who steal a little. They have a contract maybe and steal a little bit more than they should. Income tax time is coming around, folks. Are you going to pay your taxes? Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. People who come to church this morning, but you were out at a club last night. You're drinking and dancing and this foolishness, I'm out there to share the testimony of Christ. Who are you kidding? If you really are there to do that, stand on the sidewalk with pamphlets in your hand and give it to the drunks coming out of the club. You don't need to be in there with them. Nor revilers. You know, especially in this environment we're now living in this country at this time, where reviling has become the speech of the day, where it's fashionable just to curse everybody around you. You know, Paul said revilers don't inherit the kingdom of God. We have a different heart. We have a different spirit. We're a different kind of people. Jesus himself said, blessed are the peacemakers. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I love that. Would be to God that I can honestly say that of everybody here today. Such were some of you. But you are sanctified. That means you are set apart for the kingdom of God. You honestly repented. You walked away. You moved away from what God's word says is wrong. You can't make it right. You can't change it. It doesn't matter if a million people say, oh, isn't this wonderful? If God's word says it's not, it's not. You are sanctified. You walked away. You walked away from these old ways of thinking, these old behaviors and all of these things. And you set yourself apart for the kingdom of God. You're justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Now, you and I are living in an hour where the wolf is heading to the door of the church, demanding in our generation that we bow down to this new definitions of good and evil. This is where we're living. The days of being able to say without penalty what I'm saying today are over. If they're not over, they're very close to over. It's an amazing time that we're now living in. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. This is the point. There's a lot of hirelings in a lot of pulpits in America today. And they don't necessarily leave the people, but they leave biblical truth. They flee the truth when the wolf is at the door. When the wolf says, if you don't bow down, this is our golden statue. This is what this generation is going to look like. This is what you'll preach. These are the truths that you will espouse. They will bow down when the music plays to save themselves, because it's always been about themselves, not about the people. The hireling will flee. And you are seeing and you will see a huge departure from biblical truth in the Christian church in this last hour we're living in. The Bible declares that there's going to be an apostasy, a great falling away in the last days from biblical truth. And the hirelings will lead the people, not into the narrow way of eternal life, but into that broad way of destruction. And they flee because it's always been about them. It's been about the robes. It's been about the praises of man. It's been about the titles. It's been about the numbers. It's been about the apparent evidences of success. Then when Christ comes and challenges them, they hate him. His own system hated him. His own people hated him. They pushed him away because he declared their definitions of salvation and truth to be bankrupt. He told them they were full of dead men's bones. He said, you go across land and sea to get one convert, and you make him twice the child of hell that you've become. These are the words of Christ. He warned us in the last days there would be a great falling away. He warned us. He said, you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You can't escape that. That's a promise in the Word of God. We're going to be hated. It's starting now. You're seeing it in society. You're seeing it in the workplace. You can't even have an opinion on things anymore in this generation that we're now living in. Let me say it clearly now. Abortion for the cause of birth control, or so that people, I understand there are extenuating circumstances, so please don't misquote me on this. But for the cause of just birth control, or for the cause of having sexual pleasure and not having to deal with the life that it can create, is sin. Amen. In the sight of a holy God. It's a terrible sin in the sight of a holy God. In America today, the deliberate gender confusing of our children in grade school is sin in the sight of a holy God. In our high schools, forbidding our children to pray and creating this fictitious division between the state and the church, which doesn't exist. If you really study it, you'll understand it never existed. It was created by the godless. Forbidding our children to pray in our schools is sin in the sight of a holy God. In our colleges, allowing godless professors to rise up and mock God and radicalize a whole generation against even their own nation that was founded by God for the purpose of being able to worship according to the Word of God and freely by conscience is sin in the sight of a holy God. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let this society despise him. Let them consider him ordinary. Let them rebel against his words. But this day, as Joshua once said, if it be hard to follow the Lord, that's your choice. Choose this day. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. By the grace of God, we will not bow before the wolf in this generation. By the grace of God, we will stand for the truth of God. By the grace of God, we will pray again. We will pray again as a church age. By the grace of God, we will stand up unashamed for the truth of Jesus Christ. We stand on the side of victory. We stand on the side. We stand on the side of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. And as David the king once did, we will stand in this generation against the lion and the bear and everything that comes in to devour our children and to devour the people of God. It's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up. It's time for the people of God to fight back. It's time for us to begin to pray. It's time to run for public office. It's time for teachers to speak. It's time. It's time for the people of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Glory, 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 glory. The true shepherds of God in this generation are going to care more for the people than for their own safety. More than our own reputation. It's not going to be an easy road. But I don't know about you, but I'm not giving up this generation to darkness. I'm going to stand because the word of God stands forever. The opinions of men are like grains of sand on the seashore. They'll fall into nowhere. But the word of God abides forever. Now here's where I conclude. If you're living in sin, I plead with you, while there's still time, turn. Turn from it. And trust God for the strength. I know there's some sitting here or listening online or they're in the annex and they say, you don't know how deep the bondage is. You don't know how powerful the draw is. No, I don't. But I know the Spirit of God is more powerful than all of that put together. And I know the promise of God is that we will have a new life, an eternal life. The days of living in Christian ease is over in America, folks. It's over. We're about to join our brothers and sisters in China and other places who are being persecuted for what they believe. In Iran, who are being jailed and put to death for believing in Christ. We've lived a very comfortable, very lazy Christianity in America, but those days are over. The wolf is now at the door. Pray for those of us who lead in any capacity that God would give us courage. As I pray for you, that God would give you a cleanness of life and practice and heart, and give you the courage to speak up in whatever environment you find yourself in. Our children are starving for truth in this generation, and they're wide open. There's only a few Goliaths that claim that they have the power to keep us from being the people of God, but they don't. So I challenge you with all my heart, turn from sin, find that new life in Christ, and rise up and be the person that God's called you to be. We're going to sing for just a few moments. We're going to worship. I guess my altar call is just twofold today. For people to say, oh God, help me please to turn from this thing in my life. I don't have to tell you what it is, you already know. Help me to turn away from watching pornography. Help me to turn away from drink. Help me, God, to turn away from that flirtation in the office. Help me, God, to stop railing. Get me off, get me out of the seat of the scornful, and help me to walk with the righteous. Deliver me, God, from cowardice, and put a love for people in my heart that casts out all fear. Give me a voice to call this generation back to you again. And God, help me not to cower under the fear of the repercussions that will come all of our way. You know, I was in Washington, and there's an ex-general there who really gives courage to my heart every time I meet him and talk with him. And essentially, what he would say if he was standing here is, you have to fight for a cause higher than your own preservation. If it's just about preserving yourself, you'll flee when the enemy comes. If it's about others, you'll stand. May God give us the courage in this generation to stand for those that don't have a voice for themselves, for our children, for the unborn, for our high school students, for our college students, for every mother, every father, every child in this country that needs to know there's a Savior who died for them. Give us the grace to be kind and compassionate to all, not judging anyone, we leave that to God, but reaching as far as we can reach into this mass of fallen humanity with this message of incredible grace that belongs to every person who turns to it through Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you will today cause your kingdom to advance. You will give us the strength and courage that we now need as a people to stand against the onslaught of wickedness that wants to extinguish the testimony of your life and word. Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for courage for your people as others throughout the world have had to have. God, deliver us, Lord, from this life of ease that so many of your people have known and bring us into the true fight for the souls of men. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. God, we yield our bodies today to this purpose. We thank you in Jesus' name. So we're going to stand in a moment for those who you just know you have to turn from something. And for those who want to turn towards Christ, maybe you don't have a struggle that I'm talking about in your life, but you say, God, I'm stuck in neutral. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going back and I'm not going forward. But today you say, I want to make a difference. I want my life to count. I want my voice to have authority. If that's you, we're going to stand. I'm going to ask you to make your way here. We're going to pray together and believe God to answer our prayer. In the annex, you can make your way here. We'll wait for you. In the campus churches, step between the screens, if you will. We'll be back in just a moment. Every time I look at people at this altar, I see a mighty army of God. I do. I honestly do. So, Father, I
hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you today, the wolf is at the door, but I think the wolf is in the house. Because of this, we know that the Antichrist is already here and has been here a very long time. And today what's being taught in many places that say it's the church, it's not the truth. And many are teaching people that whatever you do, as long as you say you believe in Jesus, you good. But that's not it. That's not it. What must happen is we must make our calling and election sure with Almighty God. We want to make sure that our names are in this Lamb Book of Life. We want to make sure we're on the right path with Almighty God and that we are doing what's pleasing daily. All of our life, every inch of it, we're doing what's pleasing and acceptable unto him. The thoughts, to our actions, whatever we do, we want to make sure that it's in Jesus. It's not in us, because there's a lot of stuff out here today, a lot of lies, and people believe in this, and a lot of people don't like to research. They don't like work. When it comes to God, they just think God just is going to do it all for us. But he said in his word to study, to show thyself approval, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Even for ourselves, we don't study for other people. That's not why I basically study the word. I study the word for me so that I know what to do and what not to do. Yeah. And I won't be a liar, thief, a cheater, a robber. I won't deceive people. I'm working daily on grumbling and complaining, gossiping, all this stuff that we just take for granted and just ride on out. And we think because we go to the altar and say, I do, that's the end of it. No. We got to seek God with our whole heart. Those of us who come to him, we must believe. Believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But we got to faithfully, constantly, always seek God. Don't lean to our own understanding. Because I'm telling you, I've seen some things for myself that I've done. I often shared about Mother McClendon and Robinson and all these women. And looking at them, it appeared that they were talking about me and it was negative. And they would talk among the group. I couldn't hear what they were saying. And then they would look at me and they talking. I'm leaning to my own understanding. I'm in my flesh. I'm getting ready not to like these women. But then as I get there and they speak and they encourage me, they say something kind to me. They let me know, no, that wasn't their thoughts. They wasn't talking about you. But when you lean to your own understanding, when you don't acknowledge God in all your ways, he can't direct your path to a certain degree because of this. You got it. You making your own way. You doing your own thing. And many today won't acknowledge God. They don't consider him. They just consider to do what they want to do. And many will pray, but they don't believe. And many will pray, and they'll pray at 5 o'clock. If God has not done it 5 minutes after 5, they own it themselves. And if we're going to do it, God will back up. If he's going to do it, we must back up. He gave us all kind of things. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Make your petition known unto him. What? I know my thoughts towards you, nothing evil. I'm going to bring it to an expected end. By your own belief, you shall be saved. It's so much. Look what he said toward the great and precious promises. I'm the head today and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And back to I can come boldly before the throne of grace. If it's a job I want, if it's a car I want, if it's marriage I want, whatever I want, I can seek God and allow him to direct my path. After I pray, I have the patience to wait on him to see which way he's leading and guiding. And sometimes things will just come up. That husband you want, he'll just walk right in your path. Sometimes we don't even like him. Oh, no, I don't like him. He can't be the one. But God have a mighty sweet way. And as you continue to interact, you find out he is the one. But as long as we lean to our own understanding and not acknowledging God in all our ways, we're going to find out some things that we're not as blessed as we thought we was. Because much stuff we're doing, not God. Yeah. And a lot of the people are preaching to get money out of your pocket, to have people to work unto their ministry. It's not about you. You heard me pray for preachers that's preaching in the name of Jesus in obedience unto God and love for his people. All preachers don't love the people. Some bring a word and a message, and guess what? That's it. Now live it if you want to, and if you don't, that's it. Some don't teach faith. Some people don't live by faith. And some people don't live by the Spirit of God. They think they can stop doing these things on their own when you can't. The scriptures say without him, you can do nothing. So how is it you can stop yourself from fornicating, stop yourself from adultery, stop yourself from drinking? You need the help of the Lord. He gave us a will, and we can decide, I don't want to do that no more. Okay. But to stay in a spiritual place with God, a place where you're pleasing him and doing what he accepts, let him do it. Make up your mind and pray, give me the strength to do it, God. I want to please you today. But see, a lot of times we'll do good on Monday, and on Tuesday we're doing the wrong things. On Wednesday we're doing the wrong things. Thursday we'll do a little bit of good and try to focus. But by Friday we clubbing. By Friday we partying, we drinking, we doing anything we big enough to do. That's not God. Stay on the battlefield with him. He's got work for all of us to do. People look up to the prophets, the bishop. Look at here. All that means is work. That title that you get, that means work. And when you see people exploring that title, oh, I'm evangelist, this and that. Look here, pay that no attention. That don't mean for you to come bring me a glass of juice in the pulpit and a glass of water in the pulpit and carry my Bible and my brief and all this stuff, carry my phone. No, that's not what that means. That means that the word that God send them with, obey it. If you go to them and they pray for you, touch and agree with them. We don't worship man and we don't worship titles. We worship God. The only title that I know God gave to me was an evangelist. And it was because I must spread the good news of Jesus. It's not so you can run over here and do this and do that for me. No, pray for me. It is for that. Now, I solicit your prayers. I need prayer. Yes, I do. But all that flunking and falling down, I remember when people would come and bow down to the apostles. They get them up. No, 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 don't you bow down to me. We bowing to God together. Because we all need him. But a lot of these places have tricked people that you look up to the man. Meaning the man of God or the woman of God. No, that's not who you look up to. We thank God that you brought an awesome message. We thank God that you're walking on the straight and narrow. That when I come to you for prayer, you can pray with me and that prayer is answered. We thank God that he put a message in your mouth so that we can live by daily and we can leave the church and go out and spread the good news to others outside of what God gave you to give to me. But it's not for me to worship you. I can't do it. You hear me say it all the time. I love that Carl Doles and Jackie Doles, the pastor and the bishop. Love them. And if they ask me to do something, I'm going to do it, especially, and I know it's right. And especially if I know God is sending me to do it. But I'm going to give to God first. When he up teaching and preaching, I tell God, thank you for your word. Because it's not the word of Bishop Dole. It's not the word of Pastor Jackie Dole. No, it's not their word. It's his word. And if we can shake these things off and stop looking at people, and this is why many preachers in the church have a hard time. People not looking to God, they looking to the pastor. They looking to the bishop, the apostle, this, that, and the other. That's what they looking to. Late in the midnight hour, I got God. 12 noonday, I have God. When I pray to Jehovah God who have all power through his son, Jesus Christ. I can't give man what he deserves. And many times man don't deserve nothing, so I can't give God what man deserves. Because he deserves much more. He's a more than God. He give us more than we need. Right now he has given many of us more than we need. He's given the world more than the world needs. Oh, yes, he has. This is why they become wickeder and wiser. This is why they can do more and more evil things. No conscience of God. No consideration of God. Yet he's faithful. Yet he's so loved. But there's a time coming when all of that's going to go away. You won't find him as the Savior. What you'll find him as the great judge. And the judgment he pronounced would be throughout eternity. It'll never come to an end. Whether he said, well done, that good and faithful servant, or whether he said, depart from me, I don't know you, you worker of iniquity. We got to stop, focus, shake yourself, wake up. God is real, and what's going on is real. And we want to be his, and he's ours. We want to be a part of his family. Join us with Jesus Christ, the Son of the true and living God. We want to be a part of Jesus who sit closer to us than a brother. And stop playing. And stop coming and just get from God. We just get hand out, give me, give me, give me. Well, what is it that we give to him? Do we give him obedience? Do we sacrifice for his sake? Yeah. What is it we are doing? They say, ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? Ask not what God can do for you, but what can you do for your God? The Jehovah God that have all power. Listen today, there's no higher power than him. If you feel something went wrong with him, there's nobody else to tell about it. On him who can straighten him out. He's it. And he's been gracious and merciful, kind and loving to us. We deserve death. I'm telling you the truth. But his grace and his mercy, most of all, his love for us, keeps us alive. Yeah. And we know that the world don't understand, so we can't expect no more out of them than what they know. But the people of God, we should expect more out of each other. I woke up this morning thinking about Enoch. His testimony was this, is that he pleased God. I was getting up off the recliner saying this, Lord, I want to please like Enoch did. But if I can't take the time to study your word, I can't take the time to pray, I can't take the time to draw closer to you, I can't take the time to be a blessing to others, I can't take the time to be a cheerful giver, how can I be with a testimony that I please God? Who did I serve other than my family and friends? What stranger for no reason that I was a blessing to? Other than God used me to bless, that's a great reason. Who is it that if I get a little bit over my bill money and thing, who is it I can be a blessing to? Or do I just want to hold all the money and suck it all up for myself? For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the loving it will. Because if we love it, we'll do anything for it. It will become our Lord and Master. Money. I began to look at some things. I said, well, Lord, I got more than. So what will I do with the balance of more than? I'm going to share it with someone in need and happy to do it. We don't sit home and think about who's in dire straits. We sit and think about what we need to do as far as our bills and what we want. But there are people who don't have a place to live. There are people who can't go to the doctor. They don't have money. They don't have insurance. We don't pray for these things. God is listening. God is watching. His eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There are many places where they're teaching a lot of stuff, but they're not teaching the people to have faith in Jesus. They're not teaching people that there's no other name under heaven where men can be saved other than the name of Jesus. The way to the Father is through his son, Jesus. That's what he said in his word, but they twist it around and have people thinking you can stop yourself from doing stuff. Evil and wrong things, unrighteousness. You cannot do it, and you can't serve two masters. Either you got to love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. We can't please man and God at the same time, because the flesh will never please God. And man, he want to walk more in the natural than he does in the spirit. He don't want to take time and seek God with his whole heart. He just want God to keep forgiving him and keep giving to him. But time out for that. Time has wound up. We know not a day, not a tomorrow, when we are going to die. The next 15 minutes, I could be gone. Less than that. And where will I spend eternity? What have I done? Where will my storage place be until judgment day? A lot of us, we don't want to hear this. We don't want to hear the truth, because we're not there and we're not planning to get there. But you better get there. Seek God with your whole heart on your life. Lord, is my name in the Lamb Book of Life? Will it remain there? It will remain there if we obey him. This is what he said again today. If we obey him, we belong to him. If we're not obeying him, we don't belong to him. Did you hear that? Plain and simple. He said it. I had nothing to do with it. I was not there when God inspired man to write it. He said it again. Either you're for me or you're against me. Nothing in between. It's no maybe, could, should. Either you're for him or you're against him. You can't be a sometime Christian. You got to be a follower of Christ every day, all night. We got to obey him every day, all night. We can't take time out. Come out this, that, and the other. And listen to me today. Listen to me well. Come out from among them who are not of God, and be ye separated. Separate yourself from folks who are not encouraging you in Jesus, but they encouraging you in things in the natural. I don't care who they are. I don't care what illness they got, mental illness, this, I don't care. Is rather you go to heaven alone. Is rather you serve God alone. Is rather you love God alone than to love God, thinking you loving God with these people who don't love God and not willing to give them their whole heart and stand up for him and live righteously. Many churches, they have a form of godliness and they denying the power thereof. And the people in there so weak. Because the preacher's afraid to preach the truth today. We don't hate nobody. But we hate evil ways, and we hate the ways of Satan. We hate the ways of unrighteousness, unholiness. We hate all of that. Because he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. He counts our faith as righteousness. And even for us, he come back and he said, look, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. So what are we going to do today? Are we going to become his fully? Are we still going to think we part-time? Either you're for him or you're against him. Yeah. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. The wolf is at the door, but I believe he's in the door. He's inside the church now. The Antichrist been here a very long time. So we have to know evil is among us. And what we going to do? Stand up for what's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, the studio is open. If someone has something they would like to say today, please feel free. And press that number one and come in today and share. Yeah, we got a few minutes. So I'm going to this request. And let me tell you about this. And then we'll go to the request. I thank God for each and every one of you. Apostle Boatwright, Sister Irene, Sister Dart. I thank God for each and every one of you who gave $25 yesterday. We met the goal. We're over the goal a little bit. And I was able to bless somebody else out of that. You see what I'm saying? And so we thank God that he did it. He did it. And he knew the perfect timing. Now, I'm going to use my Costco card because they need to go to Costco's to purchase the stuff so it'll be in bulk and less expensive. And then I'm working with them to make it successful in Jesus, you know, and we know God leading God, we're going to follow him. So I'm going to do some baked goods and take them over for the children, brownies, you know, cupcakes. And they pull a ticket on my table. They pull a ticket. And if the ticket they pull is the number of a cupcake, it belongs to them. And I want to take some balloons over there, and the kids can, I hate balloons. I hate that pop, pop, pop. I really do. But I was going to take balloons and let them have some balloons, you know, to take home with them. Because most times they get a cupcake or brownie, they eating it right now. Sometimes they won't even ask, Mama, I won. Can I eat it? Well, she know the thing. They eat it. Children. And so it's different things that we'll be doing for them, and then they'll prepare for Vacation Bible School soon and different things like that. So I thank God that, you know, we were able to be a part. We were able to help train children in the way that they should go so that when they get old, they won't depart from it. Yeah. And, you know, if I ask for $25, it's in dire straits. We need it. And because I'm not asking people for their money. What I do is free. Jesus paid the price. Yes, he did. And if I need this paid or anything, God make a way. I don't even see the way, but he makes a way because he is the way. Yeah, I wanted to share that this morning, but I truly thank you, ladies, for what you did yesterday. God bless you, God. And those who just prayed, I thank God for you. Yeah, because if we don't have it, we pray. Yeah, we pray. And if we hear something that's needed, we pray. Yeah. And let God lead and guide. And it's already all right. In Jesus' name. All right. We're going to this one. Right after this one, Brother Anthony. I don't think I play it all the way through. I'm coming at you right after this one.
Across the sea, where Radio, not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Good morning, Brother Anthony. God bless you. How are you this morning?
Bless all the favor. Good morning to you, Miss Barbara. Good morning to everybody.
Okay, we can barely hear you.
Hold on one moment. Can you hear me now?
A little bit better. Can you speak just a little bit louder?
Is that better?
Yes, sir.
Good morning to everybody. Good morning to you, Miss Barbara. Good morning to everybody out there listening this morning. I just want to give God thanks for waking me up this morning, starting me on my way. I thank God for life, health, and strength, keeping me in my right mind, allowing me to see another day I never seen before. And I just thank God for the activity of my limbs and who he is to me, what he's doing in me, where he brought me from, where he's taking me at. And just blessed again to be here this morning, another day. And I was listening yesterday, and then I just tuning in, but I just kind of wanted to say concerning a little situation that I might be going through. But, you know, I was just thinking about God and his favor. So I yesterday talked to the current people that I'm employed with, and one of the guys, they have a driver that drives a certain area for the company, and then I drive a certain area, but he's been there a little bit longer than me, you know. And you know, we know God has favor on us, and he can give us favor, and he will open the doors. And you know, man might tell us no, but God can tell us yes, you know. And the Lord just put it on my heart yesterday to ask one of the boss men, you know. I asked him, I was like, hey, you know, my $600 about over to the temp agency for me to be, you know, permanent with the company. And I was kind of joking with him, but I was serious too, to a certain extent. And I was like, can I pick out one of those trucks out there so I can be able to drive home, like my personal, you know, kind of like my personal truck, but it'd be the work truck, but it'd be basically the truck that I could drive, and it belonged to them, but I can drive it home back and forth to work. And, you know, at first he would have to talk to the other owner, which is the brother, and he said he'll let me know. But in them doing it, they would have to do something with the taxes and all that stuff like that, you know. But I just, you know, listened to what he had to say and everything, and I was like, all right. But I know the God I serve, and, you know, I had a thing I mentioned to y'all maybe before, but it was a issue when they needed me to transport some material somewhere. And I had just started working with them. I had been there longer than about 2-3 weeks at the most. And I had asked the other owner, which is the other brother, the one that I didn't get the chance to speak with concerning this situation currently. And, you know, he told me that they couldn't let me drive the truck home, you know, being that I was a temp and concerning the insurance and stuff. Well, lo and behold, about a week after he told me that, they end up letting me drive the truck home, you know, and everything, you know. So, you know, the Lord just put on my heart, you know, and I hope this encouraged somebody, you know. All you gotta do is ask God and pray about it. You don't gotta get, you know, and like I said, they answer might be no, but God answer is yes, you know. And concerning his children, he's going to give his children what they need, their heart desires, you know. And it just encouraged me then and builds up my faith and my walk in God to know that, you know, all I got to do is give it to God and put it in his hands, because I know and I trust God, and I've seen God move time after time concerning me and my situation and what I've been going through, that he's opened doors, you know. And what man said they couldn't do, God said I can do and I will do. You know, so I just encourage, and I hope that touch somebody's heart and mind and let them know, you know, whatever you're going through, whatever situation, whether it be you or illness or anything, you know, situation with marriage or job, school, anything that you desire in your heart that you want to do, you know, and it's God's will, God will supply your needs, whatever you need financially. And, you know, I just see God moving even right now. I also wanted to say, so I when I was younger, I applied, well, when I got my CDLs, the how I got my CDLs was through this company called VR, and it basically helped people with disabilities or, you know, learning disabilities, any type of thing like that. You know, you could qualify to go through this program, and they're in every state, and they'll help you, you know, get you a job. If you want to go to school, you know, they will pay for it, and that's how I got my CDLs, you know, and I give God all the glory and praise. I thank him for that because it was the favor of God that blessed me to be able to go through this program, you know, favor through the prayers from my grandma, you know, because the program, my sister went through the program, and she was qualified for more than, you know, I was, you know, but being a favor that my grandma had and the favor on our lives and their prayers, they ended up letting me go through there. And then I went through the program, and, of course, I got my CDLs and other things, you know, that I needed, you know, and I came out here. And the Lord just put in my spirit when I came out here where I'm at now to, you know, apply for the same program. And I just got the eligibility letter yesterday. Came in the mail, I think, maybe Friday, but I just was notified that I had it, and they approved me to go in there. So now I got 90 days to go in and talk to my counselor, and then we'll set up basically a game plan or goal that we want to accomplish, you know, that I want to accomplish, basically, you know. And then once we do that, then they'll start putting things together for me to go ahead and line up, you know, whether it be for me to go back to school, or, you know, whatever that I desire that I'm trying to do. So, you know, I just thank God, and just God just continuing to show me and give me favor, you know, and let me know that I got you. You know, don't worry about nothing. You know, just trust me, you know, and in that, you know, that come patience, you know, because I had to have patience, you know, and knowing, you know, sometimes, like you said, Ms. Barbara, sometimes we got to wait on God, you know. Sometimes we might try to move too fast ourselves, and, you know, we mess something up. But if we just have patience and we sit back, you know, and let God have the will and let God do what he got to do, you know, then the door, he's going to open the doors and everything will come together. So I just hope that bless somebody, and I look forward to giving a testimony later in the week or later in this month to let y'all know that I got the truck, and I will be driving that truck home from work. So y'all just continue to keep me in prayer. I keep y'all in prayer, and y'all have a blessed and awesome day. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what we have to do. We have to learn to have patience. Wait on him. Trust him. Sometimes we'll ask for something, God refused to give that to us because it will not work together for your good. It feels good to you, but it's not good for you. So I've learned over the years, when I ask for something, I have the patience to wait on God. And if he move in that area, Lord, I thank you. If he don't, Lord, I thank you, because he's keeping me safe from something. Yeah. And so we give him glory. We just got to seek him more and listen with our spiritual ear. And the more we do this, the more we get to know God. And the more you get to know him, the better you can walk with him. Hallelujah. Because no matter what, you're not fretting. You're not upset over nothing. You're not taking anything for granted. You know, you're not acting a donkey because he didn't give it to you. Yeah. I was a spoiled child. I'm telling the truth. I was a spoiled child. And my daddy wanted me to have whatever I wanted within reason, and that it would be good for me. Not unhealthy things, he wasn't going to do that. But I was used to having what I wanted. When I come to the Lord, and the more I seek him And the more I got into him, and the more I experienced him, and the more I learned of him and grew in him and growing in him, I learned this. I'm spoiled here. Because usually what I ask for, God give, because I try to pray not amiss, but according to his will. Some days I'd be like, Lord, you did that just that quick. He went on, I asked, he did it. But there are things I have to wait on. There are some prayers I have to wait on. And listen, let me ask y'all this morning. This is a request. If y'all could keep my oldest brother lifted in prayer. His first name is Willie. And so y'all keep him lifted in prayer. He's in the hospital. And we expecting great things to come from him. But then they went to talking a little shady yesterday about a pacemaker. He had a heart attack week before last. And still in the hospital. But he's looking good. He's looking way better than he was looking when he went in there. And so we just need to keep him lifted in prayer. Let God have his way. I trust the Lord. Yeah. And so the more prayer, the merrier. Because he said, well, two or three. Yeah. And there's a few of us in my family who pray. But the more, the merrier. Hallelujah. Is there anyone else? We still have a little time. If there's anyone else have a testimony or something they want to say concerning the message this morning, even the wolf is at the door, please feel free. Hallelujah. All right. If not, we will pray out this morning, and we pray the Lord will bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And we thank God today. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for all that has been said and done. Lord, we ask that you would do it for Brother Anthony the Moore and what he's wanting in his heart desire. Lord, move for him in a mighty way. We know that you're able, and we know there's nothing too hard for you. With man, things are impossible, but with you, all things are possible. And we thank you this morning for your word. For Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. Move today for your people, those coming through the archives, the podcast, O God. Move for your people. We all need you today. And Father, without you, we can do nothing. Open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears. Lead and guide us in the right path, that God, you will be glorified, and it will please you, and it's what you can accept. Do it today in the name of Jesus. Those that stand in the need of finances, Father, I ask that you will move on their behalf today. Bless them in a mighty way. Whatever they have, double it, God, triple it. Give them uncommon finances today in the name of Jesus. Send the money angels to bring the money to them today. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask. And again today, as we depart, Father, bless our going out and bless our coming in. And Father, we are depending on you to meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Oh, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you for hearing, and we thank you for answering. Oh, we give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen. And hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from another. In the name of Jesus, go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today. April the 9th, 2024. In Jesus' name. Today is my two twin nieces, my oldest brother, the one in the hospital, his two daughters, it's their birthday, and they are 10 years older than me. Yeah, and so happy birthday to Peaches and Prune. That's what we call them. So have a blessed day, and we're going to our last song of the morning.
Robert and Paul, I want you to do something for me. This song was wrote by Reverend James Cleveland. Cell John and memories of Casella George. I want y'all to sing this song, Walk Around Heaven All Day. And Robin, don't let Paul sing it all. You hear me? You know what I want you to do? Sing, Paul.
One of these mornings.
Sing, Paul.
It won't be long. You'll look for me and I'll be gone. No.
Thank Paul.
I'm going to a place I'll have nothing to do but just
time. Take your time.
I'll sing and shout. Nobody will be able to alone. Put me out. No, no, no. My mother will be waiting. And my father too.
About your time.
Oh,
come here, Robin. Come here, Robin. Come here, Robin. Sing, Robin.
walk around heaven.